Okay, Ramban on Parshas Bo. So there's many fascinating Rambans in this week's Parsha. Let's start. He quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, when it says that the Arba were the worst that was ever seen. And Rashi discusses what about others that seemed worse. Anyway, but he quotes this Rabbeinu Hananel, that says that locusts, it says there would never be such a horrible locust again. So the Rabbeinu Hananel says, there are locusts in Egypt, but they don't cause trouble. So even though you can find locusts sometimes in Egypt, they're not swarming and destroying the crops. And he says that's because the Torah says, V'acharav lo yiyakein, it says there will never be locusts again. That means destructive locusts, they're not going to destroy anything. He says, as opposed to, and this is the interesting part, the Tzvardea, which he understands to be crocodiles. You may have heard that there's a pshat like that. So Tzvardea, which we all know as frogs, so some understand it means crocodiles. So he understood that the Makkah of Tzvardea was that there were crocodiles everywhere, and everyone knows Egypt is famous for crocodiles. So he thinks it was, he says it was crocodiles everywhere. So he says, because there the Torah doesn't say that there'll be no more crocodiles, it says Rak Bayor Tisharna, right? Then you go back to the Or. So there's plenty of crocodiles in Egypt. But locusts, no, there's no locusts in the tribe. When they come, they're not destructive. Okay, that's something that Ramban mentions, Agam, in the Pshatim he quotes. Then we have the Makkah of Choshech. Now here, this is very fascinating. The Makkah of Choshech, how do you picture the Makkah of Choshech? So the regular, I don't mean what you remember, maybe from Rashi or whatever, but usually when you think of darkness, you think of the absence of light. Okay, so, but we know Rashi brings that Medrash that says nobody can move. So the absence of light doesn't make it that nobody can move. So, I mean, the Ramban is, I guess, not adding a whole lot in that sense. If you follow the Medrash, the Ramban says that means that there was some kind of thick cloud of blackness, like that you could feel and touch. So however you're picturing what happened during Choshech, that's the way the Ramban explains it. It was a cloud that you could feel and touch of blackness. So he's very clear to say that the darkness was not the absence of light. It was something thicker than that that would wipe out all. Like if you lit a candle, it would go out. There was no ability for light. The blackness that was there wiped out light, made it that light could not be there. It wasn't just, right? But how do you feel it? It was a thick black cloud of blackness. Okay, then at the end of Makkah's Choshech, so Paro says, okay, you guys go, leave Mitzrayim, and leave your cattle. So the Ramban explains the mentality here, why Paro said that, because Paro figured they're not going to leave all their money behind. If the Jews escape, at least I got their money if they leave their cattle behind, because that was what was worth money. And furthermore, even if the Jews do escape, at least I got all their money. So Moshe's response is, Gamata titen biyadenos vachamolos. First of all, we're taking our stuff, and not only that, you're going to give us stuff. Give us cattle to take. So the Ramban is careful to say Moshe Rabbeinu was not interested in Egyptian cattle, not interested in helping Rishayim have a zchus. What he was saying was, it wasn't like, I want that. He was just saying, not only am I not leaving my stuff here, you're going to force stuff on us. You're going to beg us to bring a kapara for yourselves, which is the way of, wasn't the Moshe wanted, but he was saying, he was trying to enforce the point that not only are we leaving, you're going to give us stuff. Not only are we taking our cattle with us, you're going to give us stuff because you're going to want a kapara. And then it says that Hashem gave the chen. Vayitin Hashem es chen ha'am be'enei Mitzrayim, that the Jews found chen in the eyes of Mitzrayim. So he said, what that means is, I guess what it sounds like, that you would think that the Egyptians would hate every Jew they saw now more than ever because of the Makos, but it was the opposite. They were the good guys. Like, they were cheering them. The Mitzrim, who were being affected by these Makos, they knew, you know, it wasn't their fault. Maka, you know, at this point, Pyro's forcing us. Yeah, you guys are right on the good team. So, in other words, all the Jews were no sechein be'ed the name of the Mitzrayim. I mean, that the populace as a whole now felt the Jews were good and they were hoping they would win. And even though they were suffering, they knew it was right what was happening to them because the Jews should be set free. Okay, then Moshe Rabbeinu warns Pyro that I'm going to bring Makos Bechoros. He says, Koma Hashem kachatzos halayla. But the Ramban points out, he didn't actually tell Pyro which night, which is very interesting. He didn't tell Paro which night it would happen to. Eventually, he told Bnei Yisrael which night it would be. It'd be the night of we bring the Korban Pesach. But he never told Paro which night it would be. He just said, it's going to happen, and they're going to come running for me. Okay, then we know the Pesukim take a break to discuss HaChodesh is Elachem Rosh Chodeshim. So here's a pretty famous Ramban that says that we know the months are counted in the Torah from Nisan. Month 1, month 2, month 3 from Nisan. So even though the year begins in Tishrei. And the reason is, as it says, HaChodesh is Elachem Rosh Chodeshim. It's going to be for you Rosh Chodeshim. Why is that? Because Nisan is the month we were redeemed, we were Nigel from. And therefore we're counting always from that month to remind us of the miracles that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So even though it's not really the beginning of the year, we count our months from Nisan because it'll always remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's not what we do today. We don't call the months month one, month two. We call it Nisan, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. So he said that, the Ramban says that started in Bavel. And the reason we did that is to remember how Hashem took us out of Bavel, meaning Nisan, Tishrei, Cheshvan, all those names are Babylonian names for months. And he says it's still used today in the Artsos Paros Amade, which would have been whatever, Persia, Iran. Anyway, he says that those are the Babylonian names for months. And the reason why we picked up those Babylonian names is because it's now to remind us we've had a second nace since then, that Hashem took us out of Bavel and let us continue. And we're still a Jewish people even after Bavel, so it's a zikaron for that Hashem took us out of Bavel. He says, this is the key of the pasuk. We won't say anymore, Chai Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim, rather, Kim Chai Hashem Asher Lehelem Asher Hevi Es Bnei Yisrael Meretz Tzafon, which is from Babylon. So that's why we switched to the Babylonian names. Okay, then, why do we take a sheep to shech the sheep? As we all know, probably because Ramban says that the time is because, maybe that's not exactly how you heard it. The reason why we shech the sheep is because the mazel of the month of Nisan is a sheep. We know the Egyptians worshipped the sheep, that's true. But it's more than that. The mazel of the month of Nisan, in the zodiac, the mazel is sheep. And therefore, we wanted to show that when we leave Mitzrayim, it's not because some mazel helped us. So we take the mazel of the month of Nisan and slaughter it and eat it for dinner. And that shows that it's Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, not any koach in Shemayim. It was only Hashem. Okay, then we have another important Ramban that discusses on the Pasuk Bein Harabayim, that you're supposed to shech the Karban Pesach Bein Harabayim. So a little discussion of what exactly every word means. So he says there's three times. Erev, Bavoker, Tzaraim. Right? Three times. There's evening, morning, afternoon. Okay. What exactly are those times? So he says the first 4 hours of the day, which is the time when we bring the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar, which is the time we could have in Shachris, that's Boker. That's called morning. Hours 5 and 6, that's called Tzaharayim. You get it? That's the afternoon. Hours 5 and 6. That's 10 to 12 on a perfect day. Then from 12 to 6, again on a perfect day, that's all called Erev. Or Arbayim, I should say. That's called Arbayim. Bein Arbayim. Why is that? Because that's when the day's starting to go to end. So Bein Arbayim. And then when it's actually Shkia, that's called Shkia Til Tzeis, is called Erev Yom, he says. Then you can't shech the Karban Pesach then. That's Erev Yom. Bein Harabayim is only between, again, on like the perfect day, it'd be 12 to 6. And then from Shkia, is that whatever in that day is 6 till Tzeis, which is 72 minutes later, he says. So, that's Erev Yom. But the Bein Harabayim, is the hours between 12 and 6. Of course, Laila is actual nighttime. He also says Mincha is from the Lashon of this light of the sun is beginning to rest. And that's the concept of Mincha Gedola and Mincha Ketana. Okay, then the Pasuk says, V'chol Elohim Mitzrayim Me'aseh Shvatim. I will do vengeance or whatever, punishments against the gods of Mitzrayim. So he brings that there's one level of pshat in that the actual idols melted. There's that. But he also says that Shvatim in the Elohim Mitzrayim in Shemayim, meaning all the Avodah Zorahs, they're all supposed to be, you're bowing down to an image of a, let's say, a bull or a Egel Azav kind of thing, because there's a Koach in Shemayim of Shor. It's supposed to, the Avodah Zorahs are always like a, just a physical manifestation of some Koach in Shemayim. So that's also obviously under Hashem's jurisdiction and running of everything. Avodah Zorah is to believe that they function independently of Hashem. But obviously they do not. So Hashem is, as Shvatim means on the Malachim and Shemayim, or those Kochas and Shemayim that were Elohim Mitzrayim, so he knocked them down. Okay, then Mitoch HaDvarim of this, and read it later on, he discusses a famous question. Hashem has said he's going to do Makas Bechoros himself. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf. It was Hashem himself, no kochos in Shemayim, no malachim, no srafim. It was Hashem himself who did Makas Bechoros. Right? We all know when they say it in the Haggadah. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf. Yet, we know, they were told, Jews were told to stay inside, because once destruction comes, so then the malach, the mashkes that's given permission to kill or destroy, it can't tell the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. So therefore, the Jews had to stay indoors; so they shouldn't be harmed to makas b'chora. So that should be a stira. It's not. If it's Hashem himself, Hashem certainly knows the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. If it's a mashkes, okay, so the mashkes doesn't know the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. But what does that have to do with this? That's not how makas b'choros happened. Makas b'choros happened by Hashem. How do you put those two together? Okay, so the Rabban asked this explicitly in Perikid Beis Pasuk Chaf Aleph. This is a question asked by many Rishonim with different answers. The Rabban's answer is very cool. What should I tell you? He says, yes, of course, it's Hashem who did Makas Bechoros. And Alts Makas Bechoros, there was no fear, because Hashem knows who's a Jew and who's not a Jew. But, he says, like, when a physical king, you know, a king on this earth comes, so in front of the king comes the king's guards. The purpose of the king's guards are to make sure nobody gets near the king. Nobody stares at the king. That seems like it was a thing back then. You don't stare at the king. Nobody stares at the king, nobody touches the king, and anybody who is over on any of that and gets, you know, then the guards will kill them. So that's the guards in advance to get everybody out of the way and make sure anybody who's trying to mess with, you know, the king or looking at him too much gets killed or gets whatever thrown away. So if you remember, by when Hashem appears to Moshe, it says Hashem says to Moshe, "Moshe, you go. I'll hide you benikra satzur, and then I'll pass in front of you." Why does Moshe have to be hidden? Because the srafim that come with Hashem, that's Kain, the malchus of on this earth, the officers will say, like the srafim, the malachim, they go in front of Hashem. They'll destroy anything in its path because nobody's supposed to be looking at Hashem and that kind of thing. So Hashem had to protect Moshe from that, and then Hashem comes through. So similarly here, when Hashem, Bechodo V'atzmo, is coming to do Makas Bechoros, in front of him comes all those Shrafim and whatever. So anyone, if there would be a Jew, that would be outside, so he might be hit by that Mashkes. But the actual Makas Bechoros, where only Bechors were hit, and it was at that kind of Maka, that was done by Hashem himself, and that, there is no such thing about Inam Avchim in Tzadik Rosh. I don't know if I remember if I said that right. When Hashem does it, he is ma'afchim mitzadik l'rasha, the malach does it, he's not. Okay, this leads us, the Ramban says a few psukim later, to another question. We know we do pidgin aben as a zecher to the nes that Hashem spared the Jewish bechors, right? Our thanks to Hashem that he killed the Jewish bechors, not the Jewish bechors. So, but we know also the Medrash, isn't that whoever was the head of the house, if there was no Bechor in the household, so the oldest guy died, or the head of the household, whatever it is, or the Bechor La'av, Bechor La'aim, right? Someone in the house had to die, any kind of Bechor. But when you have Pidgin Aben, there's no such thing. It's Peter Rechem. It's only the Bechor of the mother, for animals. And there's certainly no concept of whoever is by humans, whoever is the head of the household has to be podim. So no such thing. We only do it with the Bechor, you know, the regular Bechor, not all the other people who, or animals who died in Mitzrayim. So anyway, the bottom line is Hashem only is Mekadosh the Peter Rechem, which is the Bechor Ha'im. It doesn't really explain why. Is it by an animal? There's nothing, you wouldn't know anyway. And that's all Hashem chose to be Mekadosh B'Yisrael, Bechor Ha'im, because he says it's Yadua Meforsim Yoser. Okay, at least he just asked the question. He just said, okay, Hashem decided only to take the ones that are more Meforsim. Okay, then we have Paro, after Makas Bechoros, calls to Moshe and Aaron in the middle of the night, and Rashi brings that he was going all over Pischei Ha'ir. Where is Moshe Shori? Where is Aaron? Why is that? So the Ramban explains, if I read this correctly, there's the country Guatemala, and the capital city of Guatemala is Guatemala City. So Mitzrayim apparently was the same. There was Ir Mitzrayim, and then there was Mitzrayim. So there's Goshen, there's Ramses, right, and there's a city called Mitzrayim. That's what it sounds like. So Aaron and Moshe were in Mitzrayim that night because waiting for a knock on the door from Paro. And then when Paro came to them, they sent messengers, I think that is Paro did, to let the Jews go. They know they could go, and they would all to Goshen, to let everybody know in Goshen they can leave, and then the next day they gathered in Ramses to leave. So the pasuk that says, Asher hotziacha Hashem elokecha mimitzrayim laila, they didn't leave Mitzrayim laila, rather, it was that they were given a heter to leave Mitzrayim at night. But they all left in the day from Ramses. And Paro says, the chuv do it, Hashem elokechem. The Ramban says that was just trying to convince them to leave because he wanted them out because he thought, like he said, kolonu meisim. Okay, and then we have the pasuk in Perek Yud Beis, pasuk lamates, that says, vayofu es habatzik asher hotzim imitzrayim ugas matzos kilo chametz. We all know this from the Haggadah, right? They baked the batzik, the dough that they took from Mitzrayim, as matzos. And here's the part that we're going to talk about. Kilo chametz. Because it's not chametz, ki garshu mi Mitzrayim, because they were kicked out of Mitzrayim, v'le'achlu yismeimei, they couldn't delay, v'gam tei de lo asalem. Okay, so what is all of that? Ki. So, there are different parts, because they were, first of all, they were not allowed to have chametz in Mitzrayim either, right? That predated them actually leaving. In Pesach Mitzrayim, that like that first, that time they left Mitzrayim, they were not allowed to have chametz. In other words, the Ramban understands when the Klai Yisrael were commanded, that was, even though that's for Ladoris, it was also that year too. So they couldn't have chametz anyway. So, what it's saying. So they made it matzos kilo chametz, because it can't be chametz. They're not allowed to make it chametz. But the fact that they baked the batik, the dough, meaning they baked the dough that they took out of Mitzrayim, ugus matzos, why didn't they bake it in Mitzrayim? It says, right, they baked the batzik that they took out of Mitzrayim. Why didn't they bake it when they were in Mitzrayim? Because they had no time. That's the end of it. It had to be chametz, it had to be matzos, kilo chametz, because it can't have chametz. And if you're wondering, why did they bake it on the road, taken out of Mitzrayim, that's because ki garshu mi Mitzrayim, and they had no time to bake it when they were in Mitzrayim. That's how he explains it. Okay, the next pasuk says that they were in Mitzrayim 430 years. We know that the 400 years was supposed to be from the birth of Yitzchak and the Bris Ben Abbasarim 30 years earlier. But the way the Ramban explains it means at Bris Ben Abbasarim, when he was told that their children will be enslaved for 400 years, obviously they were not enslaved for 400 years, they will not be redeemed until 400 years from today. Okay, so then that means if it was 430, then they're 30 years short. Like, why were they there 430 from? In other words, if what Hashem was saying to Avram was, they will not be redeemed for 400 years, until 400 years, so then, why was it 430? So, the Ramban explains, because they were bad. In other words, it says in the Navi, right, that they were warned that they were over the Avodah Zarah. We know they're on the 49th level of Tumah. So therefore, that 400 years got extended to 430. Okay, then we have at the end the two parashas that are in your tefillin, and in Pasuk, hey there, Perkin Gemel Pasuk Hey, it says, Ve'yaki v'yacha Hashem al Eretz Haknani, Achiti, Hamori, Achive, Yevusi. You'll notice that was not seven. Right, there's only five there. Knani, Achiti, Hamori, Achive, and Yevusi. So Prizi and Girgashi are notably missing. So the Ravan says, perhaps, like he said in other cases, perhaps that was not Eretz Avas Chavla Devash, meaning the parts of Eretz Yisrael that are Avas Chavla Devash had five nations. The other two were in an area of Eretz Yisrael that were not Zavas Chalav Advash. And he also brings a Sifri that you can't bring Bikurim from there either. Okay, then just an explanation of the mitzvah of Tefillin. It says, Vayel la'os al yadchal zikarnu bein anechalman tia teres Hashem b'ficha. So the way that works is that you're supposed to, and he's explaining Tefillin. Tefillin are supposed to remind you of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that will make it Laman Tia Teres Hashem B'Ficha. It's very important. Whenever the Torah says Laman, we know, probably famous, everybody knows from Sukkot's time, whenever the Torah says Laman, the Kavana for the mitzvah is very important. According to some poskim, it's even Makiv. Mishnah Berurah says it's not. But okay, but it's very important to have in mind the Kavana of the mitzvah. So in the mitzvah of Sukkot, Laman Tia Man Yedu Dorasechem Kibasukkot Hashavti. So, but Tefillin is another one of them. It says Laman Tia Teres Hashem B'Ficha. So the way the Ramban explains it is important. You wear a tefillin to remind you that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, and that will make it that Tia Teres Hashem B'Ficha, meaning to keep the Torah and the mitzvos, because you remember that Hashem is your Adon who took you out of Beis Avadim, and therefore it will be Teres Hashem B'Ficha that you'll come to keep the Torah. Okay, then comes the last Ramban in Parshas Bo, which is absolutely the most famous Ramban in the whole Chumash. If you don't always look these things up, this is one you need to read. The last large Ramban in Parshas Bo, where he says this big Yisod, he says the Tam of many mitzvos is to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, and why is that? Because there's all kinds of people who could believe all kinds of things since the beginning of time. People believe there is no God at all. People believe there's a God, but he doesn't control anything. And Hashem is not going to make Yitzias Mitzrayim every generation, because otherwise there'd be no Bechira. That's not the way Hashem set up the world. So he did it once. There was a Yitzias Mitzrayim. That shows everybody that there is a God, and he is running the world. So, but it only happened once. How are we supposed to know about it? Well, Hashem gave us all these mitzvot so that we, at least, will have a Mesorah going down and never forget exactly what happened. That we heard from our parents, that they saw with their own eyes, great, 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 great parents passed down every generation from child to parent, that they saw with their own two eyes, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and all the open miracles they saw, and that there is a God running the world. And when you see open miracles, so then you realize that every little bit of your life then is also controlled by God. The small miracles, the fact that you can breathe, and everything in your life, all is Bashgachas Hashem. And he has that line, I'll read you at least this line, Ein kel elyon chafitz betachtonim levad sheyed adam miyoda lilakov shebro. And the only desire Hashem has in humans, meaning what they're supposed to do, is that they should know that there's a Hashem. And this is why he says we have Davin B'Tzibur, so we have a place to get together to remind ourselves that there's a Hashem and get together to discuss, to say, B'yosecha Anachnu, meaning to say Hashem Hu Elokim. And that other famous line, which is, Ein La'adam Chelek B'Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, you have no connection to Torah, at Shenamin, unless you believe, B'chol Dvareinu Mikreinu, that everything that happens to us, Shekulam Nisim, it is all miracles. Ein Behem Tavim Min Hagosh Lolam Bein Barabah Bein Miyachid, there is no such thing as nature. Everything absolutely is controlled by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, when we get to Parshas Vayera in Bereishis, we're started with Shmos here, so when we get back to Vayera, the Ramban says there's something that sounds a little bit like a steer like that to this, that there are times that people are Nazav Lamikra, that's a Ramban in Parshas Vayera, we'll get to that then. But basically, even though there are, the Hashgach of Hashem works in different ways, the Iker point is, it is all Bashgacha. There is nothing that God didn't notice. Everything is happening only because Hashem is making it happen. Every little teeny, teeny thing, there is nothing outside of Hashem's Hashgacha. Everything is because Hashem made it so and makes it so. And that's the purpose of all the Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim mitzvos, is to keep us reminded of that one fact that happened, that we saw Hashem, we saw the open miracles, so we saw Hashem, and I've never seen it, the whole thing, so that we can know for all generations, as if we saw it ourselves, that there's a God who runs the world. And okay, that's it.